Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined, as always, Friday mornings by Rich Rebar. We did it on Thursday afternoon last week. Shout out to Reeves for accommodating me. We are here on the heels of just an absolute barn burner between the Buffalo punting Bills and the Tampa Bay fighting Baker Mayfields. We got a lot of games, no bye weeks this week. And you know, the streets out here, they're rough. No game totals on the main DFS slate above 47. You don't love to see that.
Yeah, I will say from a DFS perspective, I am kind of excited about this week. I don't know if it's because it's a full slate or just some players I like, but I will say this from a betting side, like for the object of this show, and even like, dude, there's maybe one line that I think is like attractive this week. Maybe you could sell me on a few more. I know for the context of the show, we're going to pick five and we're going to rank them, but dude, there is not a lot. Like if I was recommending like people tailing a lot of this stuff, like there's one game I feel kind of really good about, and the rest are just kind of out there.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. There are a bunch of huge favorites. You know, we are fully in, you know, backup quarterback season, bad teams playing each other season. You know, some of the really good teams have not been very good against the spread this year, which obviously plays into it. So it's not, I would not say I'm going to be driving across the border to Illinois and firing, you know, an insane amount for this week. It just doesn't really set up that way, but we can go ahead and get into it. Who is your number five selection here?
Yeah, so I think a theme for like just you know, for super context style is like kind of using some of the Davis Maddock methodology where I'm just gonna pick like quarterback spots.
Yep.
And so like I'm gonna start with the Jaguars, you know, -2.5, and it's like one of these Tomlin spots where like it's definitely like betting against the Steelers in these spots definitely is tough, but it's just me still wanting to short the Steelers big picture where the public sees that 4-2 record, right? And like they're like, dude, the Steelers are doing it again. You know, Tomlin's never had a losing record, but like the Steelers aren't very good. They're not a good football team. Kenny Pickett gets this credit for like all these fourth quarter comebacks, and like no one cares that he's terrible for three quarters, right? Like everyone's just like, look what Kenny Pickett's doing and all these comebacks. I'm like, yeah, he sucked for three quarters. That's why they had to come back.
Yeah.
Whereas like I don't believe the Jaguars are necessarily like a great team, but definitely I have Trevor Lawrence above Kenny Pickett, and I'd have the Jaguars as like a longer team from like a season long perspective than the Steelers do. So I'll just start there. Again, not a spot that I feel like I would, like you said, I'd be driving over the border to hammer this or anything.
This was my number three. I think, you know, I think the truth on Trevor Lawrence is probably somewhere between what the ball knowers say he is and what the analytics people, you know, there's sort of been this undercurrent of people kind of trying to short Trevor Lawrence while the ball knowers are like, no,
he's
you guys
Herbert,
don't
the Herbert zone,
the Herbert zone. Trevor Lawrence is definitely in the Herbert zone. No question about that. What I would say is The Herbert zone includes a lot of losses, a lot of bad losses, a lot of like relatively inexcusable losses, honestly. And the Lawrence zone, it's the other thing, right? The Lawrence zone is that he can't keep getting away with this, where they win these games, even though he doesn't, you know, play particularly well. Both of the Colts wins were I think spots. I mean, a Bills win, like I think the Jaguars are, in the context of this NFL, a little bit underrated. Also, I mean, they have, I cannot believe we're going here, but Zay Jones getting back is like kind of important to them, because the guys they play instead of Zay Jones are like zeros, right? Brenton Strange,
Jamal Agnew.
Tim Jones, Jamal Agnew taught himself to play wide receiver in the pandemic from watching YouTube clips. Like, it's not a serious third wide receiver. So I think getting Zay back, and also, teams in spots like this where the spread is very close. Now we're really going into ball knowing, but the fact that ETN is just like a really good running back, and I'm just going to trust him to kind of get what, like, it's not like you're handing the ball to Najee Harris. It's not like you're handing the ball to Daryl Henderson or whatever. Like, he's like a very good NFL running back, above average in yards before contact, yards after contact, success rate, all that stuff. So this was my number three. I felt pretty good about it. My number five, it's because it's a big spread, but it's the Dallas Cowboys -6 points at home to the Los Angeles Rams. If this was like a 4.5 or a 3.5, I would maybe even make this my number one. I think for people like us who are in fantasy, there's maybe a little bit of like, oh, you know, the Rams, they're kind of feisty. Like, oh, they're kind of good, you know, like because of Kyren and Puka and I guess Cooper Kupp as well. But the Los Angeles Rams are just really not that good. They are sixth in the NFL in yards gained, but have had a bad job turning that into points. And this was really shown in the first half of the game they ended up winning against Arizona, but the defense cannot get off the field. The teams will just go 6 yards per play, no problem. And look, I want to be as short on McCarthy and Schottenheimer as anyone in the world, but these are the spots that Dallas cleans up. Dallas will really do well against bad teams, and especially teams that can't get them off the field. Like when you're just allowing 6 yard slant after 6 yard slant to freaking Michael Gallup. But yeah, it's just a big number for a team I don't think is all that good in Dallas, but I don't think the Rams are very good either.
Yeah, I didn't have this one on there, but I definitely am worried about this from like a DFS stance, because, you know, they're like, objectively, you can talk yourself into the spots for like Pollard and Lamb again, but it's like, man, what if like Stafford can't handle like the pressure of this defense? Because Stafford's been one of the worst quarterbacks under pressure to start the year. And like, it's just similar to what we've seen for the Cowboys over the first month of the season, right? Where like, it doesn't have to be like an outright flooding, but like, they're just not playing serious football in the second half of these games very often. And that's, you know, we finally seen it one time against the Chargers, but if that happens here, then you don't get your fantasy run out for those players like we've seen over the first month of the season. But I'm with you. I think the Rams definitely are a little like a team that's probably overachieved for the public eye, and people are happy with it because of the expectations coming in, right? Like, people thought they're gonna be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, they're not like one of the worst teams in the NFL. They're better than that, but they're also like not good. I wouldn't even say they're average. I would say they are a slightly below average team with like five really good players, mm-hmm. right? Or four really good players. Like, that's kind of, and they just kind of have a bunch of empty holes on the roster. All right, what is your number four?
My four is a huge number, and it's the Ravens.
This was also my four.
All right. I mean, the Ravens are just, they're not quite in Death Star mode, but like, we talked about it last week with the Lions. Like, we just thought the Ravens were a better team. And the Cardinals haven't been in a game within double digits since the Cowboys game. They've lost by 10 or more points every game since then. They probably should have lost by, you know, probably 17 or 20 points last week if the Seahawks just protect the football a little bit better. But until we get Kyler back, until we see that this offense is functionality, like, Josh Dobbs has been the literally most inaccurate quarterback over the past 4 weeks of football. It was a great story for a couple weeks. We always want to root for a guy like Josh Dobbs because it makes a great story. Like, that's just the American tale, right? Like, rooting for an underdog to that degree is great. But like, the Cardinals are who we thought they were. Like, they're a terrible defense. They can't move the football on offense. We'll see what happens when Kyler comes back. But like, the Ravens should be able to kind of walk all over them through the air, on the ground, defensively too. Like, how do the Cardinals score on this Ravens defense? Like, so it's a huge number, so I'll put it down here. Like, I would have, like, this would probably be a one, like, you'd mix in, like, with a teaser or something, but I have it down here for the sake of this, because this is one I would say, like, the Ravens win by double digits.
I think this is a good same game parlay one, where you take Ravens on the spread, you take over in the game total, you take over Lamar passing yards, and then you do weird stuff like, you know, Bateman to score a touchdown, or like alternate yards for Zay Flowers or something like you, and you can get it up into that 80-1, 90-1 range. But yeah, I mean, Lamar is playing unbelievable this season. Lamar is above Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, all these guys in EPA plus CPOE composite. He is, you know, crushing it EPA per play. Success rate is really high. Not obviously not as good as his 2019 season, where he was number one in EPA per play. But he's playing. Also, the ball knowers, we said this last week too, the ball knowers are saying, you know, this is the best Lamar has ever functioned as a passer. And I tend to believe it. That would match my eye test as well. And, you know, the Bateman, Beckham, Aguilar contingent of rotational wide receivers, it is definitely better than some of the guys they've run out there in the past. Like, yeah, Bateman is a huge bust for fantasy, and that sucks, but it's a lot better than the Chris Moore, Willie Snead, you know, grouping of guys that Lamar has been chucking passes to before. And like you said, Arizona is, I mean, you know, all due respect, man, they are, I don't know. I'm excited to see Kyler coming back, you know, because they have been like a little feisty. And I actually think like a three wide receiver set of Michael Wilson, Rondell Moore, and Hollywood Brown with McBride playing instead of Ertz, like, I think they might be able to do some fun stuff with that. Like, I think they could be sort of interesting. The most fascinating storyline in the NFL right now is what happens if the Arizona Cardinals do end up being in the position to take Caleb Williams or Drake May, because as of right now, they are, you know, they're only trailing Carolina, and I don't think Kyler's going to win a ton of games. All right, I already did my three. It was the Jaguars. What is your three?
My three is similar boat of kind of what we talked about with the open, and it's just Vikings versus Packers, man. Like, dude, this Jordan Love,
dude. He's so bad, man.
I'm trying to think about like what even like the outcome could be. Like, are the Packers just trying to sell themselves? Like, maybe he's like Josh Allen was, because like remember rookie year Josh Allen, but he's like not a rookie. Like, he's been there for 4 years. Remember, like, rookie, he reminds me a lot of that, like, rookie year Josh Allen, where, like you just don't know what the hell is going to happen on a play-to-play basis. Like, he's got, like, especially on, like, downfield stuff. But, like, I don't see, like, the upside angle. Like, at least rookie year Josh Allen would, like, run around and make some plays. But I don't, like, this dude, if you breathe on him, like, any just terrible things happen. His footwork is terrible. He's inaccurate. This offense just looks so stale. Like, they can't move the football. They scored 24 points in the first half this year of games. So maybe you do this, like, you would just do Vikings first half, right? Instead of full game, something like that. But man, I just want a short Jordan Love, really. That's really all it is right there. And the Vikings, we talked about them a couple weeks ago, and I foolishly bet against them on Monday. They went from being the worst best team to being the best worst team. Like, and it just oscillated for like over the course of last year, this year, but they have a nice little schedule coming up. So maybe they make a little run and the record looks a lot more respectable here, but I just want a short Jordan Love, basically.
And you know, my base assumption was that the Vikings were going to be a lot worse without Justin Jefferson. And I mean, I do think over the long term that'll prove to be true, but I mean, I think one thing we got to say is Jordan Addison looks like a baller. I mean, he looks like a real hit. He looks like Adam Thielen plus, I guess to a certain extent.
I remember 2 years ago when Kenny Pickett was coming out, and I remember watching Kenny Pickett to do like draft eval stuff, and all I kept thinking about when I was watching Kenny Pickett, I was like, this fucking receiver's good. Like, this,
yeah.
Every Kenny Pickett play was the Jordan Addison play to me. Like, every pro, I was like, well, this guy is good. And it reminded me of the Manziel year when Manziel came out I remember everyone was like, look at Johnny Football. I'm like, I don't know. I just watched him throw the ball in the triple coverage, and that 6'4" wide receiver just jumped over three dudes, which was Mike Evans. I was just like, I don't know, man. That receiver looks pretty damn good. That's how I felt like watching Kenny Pickett. It was very much the similar thing. I was like, every play, I was just like, well, I like that receiver.
100%. I mean, he was such an interesting guy because the USC transfer like was actually, I would argue, like kind of bad for him because he just played with a bunch of talented dudes. They were in a bunch of non-competitive games. He had, you know, the Heisman Trophy guy throwing. Like, I don't even know who the Pitt quarterback was after Pickett. Might have been Slovis.
Slovis was the guy before, yeah.
Yeah. So I just, like, I do wonder,
Slovis was at USC.
That's right. I had forgotten.
He was at USC with Drake London and those guys. And
I believe he's at BYU now. College football is a mess. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's fun though now.
I love it. I'm not old man yells at clouds with it.
You can't make these kids sit out a year. Like, that was ludicrous.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right. So that one is not on my list just because I also don't really believe in the Vikings. It's a spot where it's like, I think both these teams.
Yeah. So like, I wouldn't rush out about this. I told you there's really one I feel good about this week.
I really hope our one is the same. We're building it up here. All right. What is your number two?
My two is the Chiefs, man. They already beat the Broncos by 11. And it's really has to do with this Chiefs defense.
Like, dude, they're good.
We've just been talking about for weeks about the Chiefs D. This is not like the Chiefs, like teams of years past where you bet Chiefs overs because they're going to score and they're going to give up points. Like, now they don't give up any damn points. One team scored three touchdowns against them. They have all more than 21 points in a game. The last time when these teams played 2 weeks ago, Russell Wilson threw for 95 passing yards, and it was a game where probably the Chiefs could have scored 30, right? And now you got no Kareem Jackson on this Denver side of the ball. There's been some natural regression for the Broncos defense, like asking them to be the worst defense in NFL history for 17 weeks is probably going to be far-fetched, but this is still a team I can't believe is going to slow down the Chiefs at all either. Probably fewer field goals, more touchdowns in this than they played 2 weeks ago. And then just believing in the Chiefs D. So this one, I actually feel pretty good about. I think like, if you do something like this would be like a Raven, you take this with the Ravens and you just, you 6-point tease these, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that works. I'd be pretty on board with that. So this one,
it's been a terrible year. I know people do like the money line parlays, and like, it's probably been an awful year for those, right? Like, where like people are just like, I'm going to take, like last week they would take the Bills versus the Patriots.
Yeah.
So you're just like, I'm going to bet these five things on this, and I'm going to do like a $100 money line bet or something. Like, it has to be like an awful year for that, because there's been like crazy upsets every week.
There has been. Yeah. Which I guess is, that would be, you know, part of the signal of this stuff we've been talking about, where the offensive environment is just so down that like, when
there are no great teams, like there's like, what, like if you were to make like an actual power rankings, like what number would you get to where you would rank like your first team you didn't believe in?
That is a great question. I believe in,
like, the Lions were like in everyone's top five, and like, great story, but like, did anyone really buy like the Lions are like one of the best teams in the NFL?
I don't even really believe in the Chiefs. Like, obviously I do believe in the Chiefs, but The just having no wide receivers it's crazy that they won a Super Bowl last year with no wide receivers. And it just feels like Andy Reid is just papering over cracks. I mean, Rice looks okay. I don't think Rice is like, you know, Randy Moss or anything, but like,
just
Sky,
in context of what they're putting out there.
Right. It's like comparing him to Sky and MVS. And although I do believe that getting Hardman back was actually like secretly genius, because it will take Sky off the field, because McColl can just play some of that gadget shit. And Mahomes looked like he was playing loose and free, man. He just looked like he was vibing in that game against the Chargers. He's like, I got the band back together, you know, and look, and now Justin Ross, good fucking riddance, buddy, get out of here. You know, he's not going to be on the team anymore. So we have a more coalesced set of Chiefs wide receivers. I do wonder if not playing seven guys might help the remaining guys, like, there's no chance to like get into a rhythm or get the feel of the game when you're only playing like four snaps.
Yeah, I mean, they just rotate those guys out for roles. I mean, there's a reason MVS runs the most routes, you know, and I know it drives everyone crazy because structurally he does things for that offense. Like he opens up stuff for that offense. Him running fast downfield has inherent value to what they want to do, and that's why they signed him coming off all like the too high stuff they've seen for a couple of years. So I know he frustrates a lot of people for the playing time he gets, but he does make sense for what they want to do. And he actually is a big part of why Kelce has so many damn catches.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, 100% he is. All right. My number two, the Houston Texans, 3-point road favorites against Bryce Young. I mean,
this is my one, man.
Oh, then my one is gonna, you're gonna be very surprised by it then. So my one, I mean, look, you put CJ Stroud and Bryce Young in a boxing ring. Only one of those dudes is coming out. I think the Texans have been my number one pick three times already. They've came through every time. They're not, obviously they are not good. They are not going to make the playoffs. They are, I think they are going to regret trading that pick for Will Anderson, although maybe not. I mean, if it's like the 12th pick, it's a big difference than it being the second pick or whatever. But the Texans are decent on defense, not great on defense, but they are passable on offense. They are 12th in the NFL in yards per play. They have the 8th fewest points allowed on defense. They never turn the ball over. You know, CJ Stroud has only got the one interception. And look, man, it's just maybe it'll happen for Bryce. I don't think I would be a buyer moving forward, but I've been wrong on these things before. But you just get sort of the he's good enough to get through vibes on Stroud.
I mean, the Texans would be even better too, because they can't run the football. They're actually 6th in the NFL in yards per passing play.
Yeah,
which is a stat that I love. And the one thing you gotta like about Stroud the most too, it's not just the turnovers, it's the all-encompassing negative plays too. Like he doesn't take a lot of sacks either. So that's what we love. And we like that from a betting perspective, right? Like we're betting on a guy that's not going to turn the ball over and he's not going to have negative plays. Like this team's going to put being positive, you know, game script. That's why probably why they've been underrated betting team so far to start the year. The market's probably undervalued them. And like the Panthers are just an unserious operation right now. Like, you know, Frank Reich's not calling plays coming out of the bye for Thomas Brown. We'll see if that makes a difference. I mean, their number one wide receiver is Adam Thielen, and I'm, you know, great for Adam Thielen. I'm glad that he's having this renaissance. But like, that's like what their offense is predicated on. It's like, what is Adam Thielen going to do today? That's like where we are with the Panthers. Like, So we'll see. Maybe when they get J.C. Horn back, like we see the defense come. But the defense has been an absolute sieve the entire season. They're getting a couple guys, linebackers, back this weekend. But yeah, that's really it to me. This was my number one, so I'm in lockstep with you here. I'm curious to see where your number one is. Your number ones have been smashing, so illuminate me here.
The Cincinnati Bengals plus 4.5 points against the San Francisco 49ers. So there's a couple things going on here. First one being, we've got reports that Burrow is like operating under center and stuff now, which I mean, I don't give a shit about that, but I think he's healthy. I think that his calf injury is at least to the point that he can kind of scram. The best comp for Burrow to me was always Romo, you know, where he can like move around in the pocket and he takes more sacks than Romo ever did. But we don't think of Burrow as like a mobile quarterback, you know, but losing that mobility is a huge part of his game. Cause a lot of,
he can move. This,
yeah, he can move. And so removing that movement, I think was pretty brutal for them. I also think there's this galaxy brain thing that happens for coaches like Zach Taylor when they're up against a good defense that actually helps them out, which is he goes, it just doesn't make any sense to run Joe Mixon directly into the teeth of this like all world defense. Like that's not how we are going to win this game. You see teams like the Bills will do this, where the Bills against shitty teams. I mean, we saw it last night. We saw it against the Giants. Against shitty teams, the Bills are like, all right, it is time to establish Latavius Murray. It is time to get in the trenches. But then when the Bills play a good team, they're like, oh, well, that's never going to work. So let's do the thing. Let's get Josh out of the pocket. Let's get Stephon Diggs 14 targets or whatever. And I think we'll see a similar thing here. And I mean, there's also a chance that we're recording this on Friday morning, so we don't know yet. I think the 49ers are really want Brock Purdy to play, but you know, I don't think any player this season has been in the concussion protocol on Monday morning and then played on Sunday.
Yeah. The only guy that I know that's cleared in a week was Musgrave, and that's because he played Thursday to Monday.
Played Thursday. Yep.
And they played Monday the following week too, so he had like the extra time. But I don't know if anyone else has cleared this year. Maybe did Devontae Adams clear once?
Devontae Adams did clear, but I think he wasn't. That was a weird one. I think that was one where he got the concussion check, but then they determined he didn't have a concussion. Okay. I believe.
But no, it's not often, though. And the NFL, obviously, with what happened to Tua last year, like, these teams are going to be more on the cautious side than anything.
I do believe the conspiracy theory that this is Michael Salfino trademark. So shout out Salfino on this one. I actually do believe this conspiracy theory that the 49ers don't want Darnold to come in and win this game and then have to
plays well.
Yeah. I 100% believe that in John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan's heart of hearts, they do not want to deal with Darnold.
But you
coming
said
in.
Last week that, listen, we America cannot be trusted with Brock Purdy discourse.
No, fuck no.
Absolutely no. Not. So like, honestly, so if Darnold come in and playing well, like would only just be more, just imagine the gasoline.
Yeah. Now I think Darnold stinks. So that is a big part of like, I am not one of these closet Sam Darnold truthers. I think he's right about Zach Wilson.
If he starts, are you playing him in DFS?
I will do if the projections at 43, if the team total doesn't change very much, he's 4,300 on DraftKings.
Yes,
I wouldn't play him in any tournaments. I would say I survived Aiden O'Connell week when he started for the Raiders. And to his credit, Darnold is like a little, remember the Panther season where he had 6 rushing touchdowns the first 3 weeks of the season? Like he's a little mobile. So you get like, I don't know, 4 points a floor or something there.
Last 5 weeks last year, he was good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to give him good. I'll say he was fine.
He was 5th in the NFL in fantasy points per dropback.
I will probably play him in cash at 4,300. But okay. Yeah, the Bengals are my number one. I just think, come on, Joe Burrow against Purdy or Darnold, but especially Darnold. I'm like, Darnold cannot be handed the keys to the Death Star, man. And Debo being out is low key a big deal for them because their replacement level guys are shit. I mean, Ray McLeod, Ronnie Bell, Juwan Jennings, these guys, these are not like we saw that against the Vikings. It was just like they needed someone to make a play and no one could make a play.
Well, the one good thing is that when he's out, they actually throw to Kittle.
True.
When Kittle only gets targets when one of those guys is out.
Yeah.
It's like the only time we can like have full confidence in the Kittle game is when either Ayuk or Debo's off the field. But yeah, I mean, this one, I totally agree from like the quarterback perspective. I just don't know what we're going to get out of the Bengals, right? Like, I don't know what to expect out of the Bengals coming out of the bye. They haven't been.
I mean,
good
could be anything. I think Zach Taylor is a huge fucking donkey. I think he's actually holds back this talented nucleus of players, and so that can just mean anything, you know. But Burrow, man, I am definitely a Burrow believer. Like I would take Burrow over any of these social media quarterbacks that people love. You know, Herbert, Lawrence, Tua, whatever. Like Burrow for me is like probably like 5. Of the quarterbacks. Like if I was doing a draft, I think he'd be 5 for me.
Yeah, I think he'd be high. Would Tyreek Hill be before the wide receiver 10 or no?
That's so good. Tyreek probably 2 for me. I'd probably still take Jefferson over him.
If you're talking from like a team starting a team concept, you would definitely take you might even take Chase just be the age thing, but like
I'm saying even like one. I think Jefferson can just do it all. Like the Tyreek plays are like more flashy or whatever and they create better highlights, but like Jefferson is just like he's literally always open.
The most insane defense of like a model I've ever seen. Like I mean, what are we doing? And like, what is social? Like, how do people even consume like football like discourse on Twitter?
I'm pretty logged out of the discourse. I just don't even get into these.
But you know
anymore.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Brian Burke and the model. Yeah, it's just like we, you know, I don't. If a model so obviously rejects what your eyes can tell you, is, you know, there's something wrong with the model, not something wrong
but
with
also
your eyes.
You don't have to, like, there's allowed to be like an outlier for a model, right? Like, you don't have to like defend it to that degree. You could, like, it's okay that a model doesn't explain everything, right?
Sure, like, that's also true. That's a very good point. Yeah,
and so you don't like have to defend it to the degree of like defending your model by going through the lengths of saying, well, yeah, and Tyreek Hill wouldn't even be a top 10 receiver. Like, don't do that part of it. Like, right. It's okay that your model has an outlier. It's okay. Like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. All right, man.
You have to explain 100% of everything. Like, we're not fucking robots.
Right. What's your plan in DFS, man? What are you doing with all these 6K running backs? Are you jamming?
I love
Bijan?
This slate, man. I do too. This slate.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this slate. I think there's just a ton of great plays. I'm more interested in the tier of running backs above that. From a DraftKings perspective, I think you've got that grouping of guys of Tony Pollard, Travis Etienne, and Alvin Kamara, all in that strike zone that are interesting. You've got kind of Lamar versus Hurts at the same pricing, and you've got kind of this group of wide receivers in the 5 to 5,500, the Nico Collins, the Terry McLaurin, Zay Flowers, like all those create like a bunch of really good fulcrum points where like we're just going to see flatter ownership and different roster builds than we did the last couple weeks, where there was a lot of overlap in lineup construction the last couple weeks. I think this week there's going to be a lot more variance. There's just a lot more plays on the board. I don't know if it's because there's no buys or just pricing or whatever has gone into it, but I feel like there's going to be a lot more versatility in the lineup building this week. And those are always fun weeks for DFS, because we went through what, 65% Raheem Mostert week a couple weeks ago, where he had 30 points. Last week, literally everyone had some combination of Kenneth Walker or Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp. And so this week, I think it's going to be like Breece Hall is going to be really popular, but I think outside of Breece Hall, we're going to have a lot of fun roster construction.
Pollard, Breece, Bijan, Walker, Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne, a lot of ways to go there. I'm loving Lamar doubles, or Lamar. You can just do Lamar and Andrews. You can do Lamar and Flowers. And I do think you probably want to bring,
Lamar and Andrews saved my ass last week.
Yeah, it was very nice. We got Kelsey on the main slate, you know, $5,000 Rashi Rice on the main slate. Like, we are absolutely vibing.
So in context
here,
of the slate, do you think it makes more sense to actually pay for Kelsey versus like a McCaffrey, say Cup Tyreek, now that he's playing? Like, because not great. Like, you talk about, like, if Darnold plays, like, is it a spot where like, the 49ers maybe are lackluster? Listen, McCaffrey's probably going to score a touchdown regardless.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cooper Kupp versus the Cowboys, you talk about like some of the Stafford stuff. Like, it just makes sense to just pay for Kelsey this week versus like the other top guys.
I mean, how many points does Trey McBride get? That's if Trey McBride gets 9, you definitely want Kelsey.
McBride.
If Trey McBride gets 16, you definitely wanted McCaffrey or whoever. Right. Yeah, because McBride is, what is he, 2,800? He's far and away, like,
and
the reason why I ended up. The reason why I ended up not playing any of those dust balls at tight end last week was because JSN opened up, and like, it's like, yeah, Michael Mayer for 3,300 or JSN for 3,900. It's like, well, it's not even close to me. Like, JSN, like 100%. And I guess, I don't know. I assume.
Plus Andrews was so, his price was so good last week.
Yeah. Yeah. He's boosted up now. And Hawkinson is kind of in that dead range there, you know. Well
Hawkinson's like one of those guys where he's priced, he doesn't have, because like him and Andrews have been kind of, they've had similar pricing all year, but for like Hawkinson's price and the way he's used, like he doesn't have like the 2-touchdown game very in his like his arsenal, right? Like, he's a guy that's like predicated on like, well, Hawkinson's gonna like catch nine passes for like 6 yards of kick. Like, he's just gonna catch a bunch of passes, but like his price is hard to pay off always on tournaments because his utilization is like near the line of scrimmage and relying on volume, where like Andrews can have a 60-yard game but score 2 touchdowns. Like
yeah.
So like it's different. It's that's why it's like Hawkinson's been just really hard to pay for, because like a 6K tight end, like for him to like max out value, like what does he have to have? Like, he almost
he's got to have that line. He's got to have the Newt game he had against the Seahawks, you know, where he was like
right,
the third most points ever by a tight end or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, this dude's getting, you know, 5 air yards a target. Like,
yeah, he plays very close to the line of scrimmage. All right, man, tell the people what they can get on Sharp Football this weekend.
Yeah, sharpfootballanalysis.com, writing up all these games, all the players, having fun with it. You know, no bye weeks this week. But literally now that we've got like so much data on the season, like I'm plugging a bunch of unique things in there and unique data points. You can use promo code Halloween all the way through midnight on the 31st for 50% off anything on the site.
All right, there we go. Promo code Halloween on Sharp Football. We are getting out of here. I will see you guys back on Sunday night with Sammy and Nate. Later, dudes.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.